Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan!
Sauce.
The final of our price structured preseason previews is here. We're talking budget guys, cheap guys, soup du jours, gumars, etc. How you doing?
Good. It's nice Monday today, Monday morning. We're getting some more signings coming in and such, so we'll see how the week goes.
Yeah, very early Monday morning pod. So just quickly before we get started, teeny tiny bit of housekeeping. So as I just said, this is our third and final price structure preseason pod. We did one last week for mid-price players, one the week before that for premium price players. So check all that out. Make sure you're caught up before the season starts on Friday. Also, last Friday, we released Fireside Chat with Michael Cayley. Genius human being, stats guy, very interesting. Also, right before this pod's release, we had a Basics of FPL pod, which is really only for new players and beginners. We go over the rules, basics of the game, that kind of shit. If you have friends that want to get into FPL but don't know anything about it, or they're like intimidated by it or whatever, maybe they can give that episode a listen, get into it. You can then steal their money in your mini league or something. And lastly, there's going to be one more pod before game week one for us, which we're recording on Wednesday. We'll kind of just go guns a-blazing about our teams, everything that's going on. Lineup lamentations will come out either Thursday night or Friday morning. That's it. That's the catch-up. Here we go. Yeah. Season is fucking here, baby.
And I guess also the prize league will set up within the next couple days, right? For our $2 and above patrons or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, good call. So I'll set that up either today or tomorrow, and there'll be like a Patreon email that'll go out, a Patreon post. If you're in Slack, it'll be in the content channel and everything. So just make sure you join that before, you know, just join it ASAP so you have a chance to win. All right, that's done. So what's new with you? What's new with your team? Owen asks, what changes have you made slash considered after the community shield?
Well, Kevin looked really good. That was like a big takeaway for me. He was getting forward a lot. Jesus is just still horrible, but I don't know if he'll be doing that with Kuhn still, but because Kuhn doesn't, I don't know. But yeah, Kevin looked good. Mo took like 15 shots, even though he was struggling to place them anywhere meaningful. That looked good. I don't know. Not a ton. Those were pretty much the only things. Did you have any takeaways?
I think those were my main two things too. Like, it was funny because Kev like could barely complete a pass and all of his crosses were worthless, but it was just the runs, right? Like, he was just he was just so far forward making all of the best runs. And it's just like, you want your guys in those types of positions. That's the position where they score points. So that was good. And I don't know. People are talking about Zinchenko. I mean, he's not going to face a lot every week, but I thought he was pretty damn bad. And, you know, I just feel better. But since they're the same price anyway, I just feel so much better with Stones, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I would go Stones over Zinchenko if I was going 5-5 there, and I have Stones in my team right now, but I still just am terrified that he's just going to play Otamendi. I just have no idea what he's going to do.
Otamendi or Fernandinho.
The other thing too,
also
watching
getting Cancelo.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't matter for center back, but the other thing I was kind of thinking about with the center backs there is like Laporte can carry it out, right? And he can make those passes. Like, he kind of does the same thing as Stones.
Yeah.
So like Otamendi was playing like stopper, like behind Stones. So he's obviously a shithouse and he's bad, but he is a tackling monster unit. So I don't know what he's going to want.
Right. Like Stones, you mean like for the pairing?
Stones is very similar, but like, do you need two players that are going to carry out from the back?
Probably
like,
not.
You know, probably not. I don't know. But Zinchenko, I mean, anyone who's playing reverse out of position, like a winger playing fullback against Mo, is going to get shredded. So I don't hold that too much against him.
Yeah.
But Yeah, Kevin, the other, I mean, Bernardo, Bill was also like, don't think he had a shot attempt all game. Yeah. I mean, he was invisible. It's just that also just reminded me like, oh yeah, this is why.
This is why we don't have enough. Yeah.
This is why we don't have, yeah.
Yeah, people were also a little bit scared of Trent. I mean, I think it's worth considering the fact that he'll maybe get subbed, he'll maybe get rotated. We kind of knew that already, though. And I still think, like, first choice team, he's still pretty nailed. But I don't know. It's something to think about, I guess. Maybe you go Robbo over Trent or something.
Yeah, well, it's difficult because he played under 2,460 minutes last year and got 185 points.
Yeah, no, that's insane.
So, I mean, it's the PPM, and when he doesn't play, if he's not going to sub, you get a sub, you know, so it's not, you know. For sure, Rob was, like, safe, quote-unquote safer in terms of the minutes but because he's a monster.
But
and
the
he's
points
just,
are basically equal, is what you're saying.
Well, Trent's points per start, I think, were higher than Rob was last year.
Yeah, I mean,
year,
like,
but
the points are equal if you have him in your team because Trent will sometimes get rotated and Robbo will play every game. But, like, since Trent scores more points, you'll get more, you know, it evens out.
I just don't think that there's much in it. I mean, and Van Dijk, too. I mean, saving 0.5 seems good. They're all great in terms of relative points, and they're all going to score a bunch of points. And, you know, I mean, if you have them when they're getting their attacking returns, that's, like, good job by you, good luck. But they're just good, so I didn't really think too much about it. I've been on Robbo and Van Dijk for a little while, but I went back to Mo. I don't know. I have, like, a really template team right now. I'm not sure if I'm
Template's
feeling it.
Template's good, man. I mean, I was talking to Desert Bug last night before I went to sleep, and it was like we had really similar, like, seven players or something like that, and then he had the remainder of his team was very template and very safe and very good, and mine was like squeezing in like a more expensive guy and then having more punts and risky guys, and I was just like, yeah, your team is so template and that's a fucking good thing. Like, my team should be template. I have all these punts. It's stupid as hell.
Yeah, punts are fun though, so
punts are fun and I can't resist, but yeah, here we are.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm still changing my players. I'm like a madman. I have no idea what I'm going to be on come Friday, but
I change constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. I know we've been chill. But so, I mean, we're going to do it on Wednesday so we can cover, we'll have a better idea with stuff. I think they just put Keane in the game. He's only 7.5.
He's only seven, dude.
Seven. Yeah. So that's
that
exciting.
Price is very, very nice.
Yeah. It's just a little bit unsure how Everton are going to settle with him in. It's just like they, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
so let's just
start
get in.
With him. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do that.
So goalkeepers, we're doing 4-0s and 4-5s. I mean, there's no 4-0 starters, I don't think.
No, there aren't.
Are you still on Pope?
I have Henderson in.
Henderson. Wow. Okay. So talk to me about Henderson. What do you like about him?
Not much.
Yeah. I mean, you like something about him. That's all I know. Maybe it's the slime green kits.
His save percentage was really high last year. Granted, it's a championship, but, you know, he's highly touted coming over from United. It looks like they're going to be playing pretty defensive 3-5-2-5-3. I mean, I don't know what they're going to say. They're going to probably be parked for the most part.
And they were super conservative even in the championship. There were like very few goals conceded and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were like the best defense of the three promoted sides. Not like that's saying much, but, you know, the fixtures at the beginning of the season are not great, but I'm just still a little bit okay. So I mean, with Henderson, so it's the save points, right? He's got that. He's also pretty good at saving pens. Again, the fixtures are pretty bad, which is a little annoying thing. But there's not a lot of there are not a lot of 4-5 options, and it really just came down to I'm still a little bit scared with Pope. Maybe Dyche will say something this week, but I don't really think I would have too much of a problem transferring Pope in after a couple game weeks if it comes to that and Henderson's fixtures get bad, like after game week 5. So that's in the back of my mind, but yeah, I'm just worried about Pope, honestly. I mean, I definitely prefer him if I knew he was going to be starting.
Well,
I know
started,
he played the last pre,
yeah,
he started one game, the last preseason match, but like Hart's still, he's not, you know, he's not nothing. He was bad. I don't know.
He's so bad.
I guess so, but he's playing last year a lot, and he's played a bunch of preseason. I know probably because Pope is out, and they wanted to get rid of him, so I might go back to Pope. I probably will as we're talking this through, but one of the promoted goalies every season also always is flying out of the gates.
Yeah, they start hot. That happens every year. It's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something I've never done. I've never even considered it, honestly, having a promoted goalie in, and I don't know. The promoted teams do tend to, you know, kind of hit the ground running a little bit.
It's weird because this whole bracket, I feel like, of four or five keepers are kind of all the same story. It's kind of all, you know, they're on a bottom 10 team and they're sort of a defensive setup and you're relying on like saves and bonus points and cleans are few and far between sort of for most of them. But
yeah,
I mean, I think the reason I'm on Pope and a ton of people on Slack are on Pope and you'll probably honestly be on Pope is just because Burnley have that upside of like keeping 10 cleans, and a Burnley keeper for like three-ish consecutive seasons has scored like around 150 points or, you know, last season.
Yeah.
Once Heaton came in, it was similar, and it's just so consistent. I mean, that's all I have to say about that. It's just been a consistent point of success in FPL, Heaton and then Pope, and it just feels good. I don't know. The fixture, the one thing that does bug me is the fixtures are horrendous. They're so bad to open the season for Burnley that if we've been talking all preseason about like early wild cards and shit. Like if a early wild card you think is something you might consider, then Pope kind of makes no sense. I mean, home Southampton's okay. Then at Arsenal, at Wolves, home Liverpool is really bad. So for that reason, I could definitely see avoiding Burnley.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I've seen people with Ryan, and I think it's just being blinded by the fixtures because they are good. But
yeah.
I've been Brighton. He's playing like this 3-4-3, it seems like, or he's some type of three at the back that keeps signing center backs. But I think that they're going to be kind of open and kind of bad, and I think Ryan's actually bad, so I think that's a bad pick. We don't know the
Bournemouth. They're still supposed to sell to Leicester, I guess, now that the Maguire deal went through.
One of the center backs.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck they're doing, but I just don't think they're going to be keeping many cleans this year. I think I don't like it. I don't like him at all. Bournemouth, we still don't know who the goalkeeper is. I think he's played like... fucking fuck me if we know what Eddie Howe's going to do with his team sheet. and then, I mean, I've been seeing some people like, oh, Heaton on Villa, that's great, blah, blah, blah. Villa do have quote-unquote good fixtures to open the season for.
Excellent fixtures, yeah.
Yeah, but that's also, you know, assuming that a team that's, you know, odds on to go down have a good fixture, they're still Villa, and they bought a whole new team. So I'm very, very firmly staying away from Villa, running away. I don't know what they're up to.
I was just going to say, like, I really like Heaton, and I like that purchase by them. And I think I talked about this last week, or I tweeted about it or something, but I love their fixtures. Like, their opening nine, I think, is the best in the league. You know, they have away, Spurs away, Arsenal. Five of the other seven are home. And then the two aways are away Palace, which is better than playing them at home, and away Norwich. So they're really, really good. But yeah, like you said, I mean, they weren't even good at defending in the championship. So I don't know. They bought some guys and they bought Heaton, and maybe they'll be a little better, but it's really sketchy. I don't expect a lot of clean sheets from Villa, so I don't really like it.
Yep. That's it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, is that basically it?
Yeah. It's slim pickings down there at 4-5. Their fixtures are bad to be in the season, plus their defense is... We know their defense is bad.
Yeah, I'm just looking around. That's basically it. And then my four has been buttoned since the start because they have no other goalkeeper, but I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I have Button too. I mean, he's 25%. I think I had last season Stecklenburg, who didn't drop to 3-9 until like game week 26 or something.
Yeah.
The thing with the 4.0 goalkeeper, like, you know, maybe we'll touch on it when we get to the 4-5 striker, but with the new way they have the price changes, that wild carding out doesn't affect the price drops, nobody spends a transfer on the 4-0 goalkeeper. So you don't have to really look at, like, because, you know, I like to get someone who's a low ownership at the 4-5 level. Yeah. So, but to prevent the price drops of the 4-0, it really doesn't matter. So even though Button's like 25% owned, which is terrifying because he doesn't play, and you could just conceivably in your head think that you could hemorrhage value there, it doesn't usually happen. And yeah, like you say, he's the only like really clear backup to the number one who's 4-0. So yeah, I think Button's the
And
the
also, I mean, there. This barely matters, but he was pretty good when Ryan went away last season, you know, so you have that too.
Yeah, Benjamin Button,
the curious case. So defenders were doing 5-0 and below. So there's actually a trillion guys.
Yeah, there are a lot of 5-0 guys. So I think we'll probably just kind of skim through and kind of mention some guys we like. We're definitely not going to go like team by team.
Right.
But what do you see of the 5-0s that are standing out? This is the season on Slack where I've been seeing people looking for like a 5-0 defender because they're trying to skimp another 0.5 or whatever.
I've fucking been there.
So I mean, the long of the short of it is there are no like safe, good start every week, reliable options right now. But what do you see?
I mean, just starting from kind of the top, I think the other Chelsea guy will end up being good. I mean, I think Chelsea's back four and their, you know, Conte and Jorginho defensive mids, like they're going to be solid still, even, you know, no matter what Frank does, that's still really good, like back seven with Kepa. So Christensen or Zuma alongside Luiz until Rudiger gets back is kind of interesting to me. If one of them was definitely nailed, I would probably start the season with them, but they're not. I don't know, just scrolling through, I'm looking for other guys, but there's really not many 5-0s that I like. Are there guys that scream out to you?
I mean, I think Ake is still good.
Yeah, he's okay.
The fixtures are reasonable, and he's got a goal on him. You know, he's just the kind of guy that will probably tick mediumly for 5-0. He's, like, safe, you know?
Yeah, he's pretty safe. Good on bones, got a goal on him.
Yeah, I mean, and then they're talking about, like, Duffy or Tarko or whatever if they move to Leicester, but it's still the other thing is, I mean, Johnny Evans is still at Leicester. I mean, he's 5, and obviously he's not, like, an attacking threat like the other two might be. Well, I guess Tarko's not, but, I mean, you know, he's 5 into Leicester. That's a player.
Yeah, he's solid. He's totally solid.
Yeah, he's just solid.
Leicester should keep around, like, 10 plus cleans, right? I mean, yeah, like, losing Maguire doesn't mean much to them.
Yeah, I expect that. I mean, the main issue with Evans, like starting with him anyway, is that he really would need to be rotated because they have so many bad fixtures at the beginning of the season. Unlike someone like Ake, who, you know, they only have really like one unstartable fixture in the first like 2 months. So
right.
That's something there. What else? Fives we're talking about. I mean, Southampton have the wing backs, but again, like it just seems bad, right?
Their defense is so bad last season.
Bad. Yeah, Valerie was interesting.
He's classy and he's good, but he gets in the box and actually scored some goals. One was like a screamer, but one was just like a good finish in the box. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe we should give more Setters credit to back. Like Ralph or something, but they were just so bad. Like they were just conceding two or three goals every single match.
Yeah, pretty much they were, I think.
Yeah, they're...
So what about Kyle Walker, Peters, KWP over there?
I mean, Aurier's back in training, and Foyth is injured long-term now, and they're already, like, rumored to be in on another right-back. So it seems like anyway. A just complete nightmare. Yeah, I mean, like, even if he starts game week one, there's going to be rotation, they're buying a new guy. Like, it just seems bad on all levels.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Stay away there. I mean, Watford, they've got holes over there at 5. I've seen some people talk. I mean, I keep seeing Cathcart in teams. We'll get there. But Watford kept no clean sheets last year. I'm not sure what the love-in is with Watford defenders. Do you see anything there?
No, second half of the season, I mean, they were, from January 1st on, they were second worst in the league in expected goals allowed to Fulham. Like they were worse than Huddersfield in the last 18 fixtures of the season. Expected goals allowed. They were a joke.
Is that kind of similar when they switched to the 4-2-2-2?
I don't know. That was similar to when they were fucking horrible. I don't know.
Okay.
Like they had 25 defenders on their roster last season, so I don't know what they were doing. And they switched to the 4-2-2-2 and they were okay, and then they just fell apart and were horrible, as Watford always does. So I don't know.
What about AMN, Maitland-Niles? Does he have a spot?
I think he's the starting right back. Until Bellend comes back.
Is that a thing?
And honestly, I really like
him.
He's
good.
He scored a hilarious Trippier own goal yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw it.
Just a classy back pass that goes straight into his own net. But he is good. And like, I don't know, Nate was kind of, I hung out with Nate all day yesterday. So there's lots of Ainsley talk.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But
what'd you squeeze out of that peach?
The thing that he was saying about Ainsley is that, like, because of the Bellerin injury, it's been basically drilled into him this entire offseason and even last season that, like, you're the starting right back. It's your spot to lose. Like, you know, like, take it if you want it, almost, you know? And it seems like it's his. I mean, they have no other right backs. They have no other, like, fullbacks. They didn't buy anyone or address that at all. So seems like it's entirely his to lose. I like him, too. He's pretty attacking. We never know what Emery's going to do. If he switches back to, you know, a wing-back system, it's even better. But as of now, it seems like it'll be, you know, a flat-back four. But I still like him. Yeah, I think he's pretty solid.
Hmm.
Like, we don't know who's going to start with Monreal and Kola. We don't really know who's going to
play Monreal at right back. He would go back to that. I feel like he was really not doing that last year.
No, I meant at left back. I mean, like, the other options on the back line. Like, we don't know which left back is going to start.
I'm fucking dumb. Yeah. Okay. Keep going. Sorry.
All good.
Yeah, but Janko. Janko's back.
Yeah. Okay.
Huge threat to the spot. Yeah. Janko.
Yeah. Janko unchained. We got Socrates in the middle. He's pretty nailed, but we don't really know who's going to partner him. Like, Koscielny wants out. Holding is still injured. Like, it might be Callum Chambers. That's a thing.
It should be.
It should be. It might be. It probably will be. And then Maitland is 5-0. Very reasonable price, but very bad fixtures, right? I mean, like, away Newcastle, home Burnley, and then away Liverpool, home Spurs is kind of tough.
I mean, you want to bench him for three, probably, but, I mean, home Spurs, obviously you want to bench him for that, too, but, like, you know, it's not the end of the fucking world.
Yeah, it's not away, you know, City or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's still, like, very attacking, so he's always got that option, right?
Yeah. As far as, like, I haven't really thought about him much either for fantasy, but as far as, like, the 5-0 guys go, and
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah. Like, he was creating chances. Like, his stats aren't, like, that bad in his first ever season playing right back, and he's quick and young and maybe getting better and good. I don't know. It's interesting.
Ainsley.
I always call him Ashley Maitland-Niles. It's me and Nate's little inside joke.
I'm sure you guys laugh a lot about that.
I just fucking die every time I text it.
his stats were pretty horrible last year.
Socrates is just, like, en route to 20 yellow cards every season, so you don't want that. Who? His stats are bad?
Yeah, I'm just looking, like, the last, like, I mean, there are some subs, but, like, he had, like, his, like, last five starts, he created one chance.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You don't really want that.
Yeah, his big game was surprise against Huddersfield, where he created three chances. That was, like, his huge XA game.
Yeah, that was probably, like, week 9 or something. So maybe he's not good.
I don't know. He had some good games.
He looks good.
Like, he looks classy. Good, and he had the occasional, like, sporadic good game. Like in May 9th against Leicester, they lost 3-1. Like, he had 0.61 XA that day. Only two key passes, but one of them was obviously, like, a huge chance. So, you know, he's got it in him.
Nate would be so proud. Might just do it for Grandpa Nate.
Yeah, do it for Nate.
He would be so happy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's worth considering, but is that it? I mean,
yeah. Well, there's like all these fucking shitty Wolves players. We don't have to talk about them, but yeah, five's pretty bad this year. I mean, the defense is kind of odd. Like we've been talking about it, is that there's premiums. Then the 5-5s all are like, oh, they're okay, but they're still they're like, okay.
They carry some risk, yeah.
And then it just falls off a fucking cliff because the bad teams are bad and the clean sheets don't look good from the bad teams. I mean, we did gloss over Palace a little bit. I mean, without Sacco and Tompkins, we're bad. We're really bad. So our replacement for Tompkins is an absolute potato sack piece of shit. So I have no confidence that we will ever keep a clean sheet if we don't have those two in
there. What's it going to be? Like Dan and Kelly or something?
I think he's going to play Kelly. Kelly keeps playing. I don't think he's going to put Dan in. I don't know.
Dan's average minutes per game in preseason is 73 and Kelly's is 75. So basically they both just started every single preseason match.
Basically. I mean, Sacco's been out for most preseason, but like two games, one game or something, but I just don't like it. Dan's so much better than Kelly. That's not even a remote comparison, but Dan's very flawed. He's older and just, you know, he's old.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then
so we're in trouble.
Ward is going to be right back.
That's in some fucking nonsense that we haven't purchased a right back. I don't even want to touch that topic.
Good
but.
God.
All right, so 4-5s.
Yeah, 4-5s. I mean, so we did just mention Callum Chambers. That's interesting. I think he's the most likely to start alongside Socrates, getting an Arsenal center back. Yeah, and then Holding's
injured.
What's up
with Holding,
He'll be back maybe like a couple months or something like that. Nate was saying maybe after the international break. So he's their by far best defender. So as soon as he's back,
but is he going to stop playing Mustafi?
Yeah, I think they're trying to. They're almost have confirmed sale of Mustafi, and it seems like the starters are going to be Callum and Sock. As far as I can tell,
I haven't seen any almost sale of Mustafi. I've seen them asking for $30 million for Mustafi.
No, but that was like that came from Milan. I think like Milan wanted to. Want him or something, and they're trying to get rid. And Callum's been starting. He started like 3 out of the last 4 preseason games alongside Socrates. Like I don't know,
it's
risky, but 4-5 Arsenal defender is pretty good deal.
It's fucking wham bam thank you man steal of a deal.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I am very nervous about that. I don't know if I would have the stones to go with Chambo. I just Mustafi, he fucking plays Mustafi for fun. He like loves him.
It's funny. Mustafi subbed in yesterday also against, it was a game of comedy, but he subbed in. He played literally 4 minutes and that's when he made a huge mistake and like didn't mark Suarez, and Suarez came in for the game winner.
it's just so ridiculous how bad he is. It's just fucking insane.
Yeah, but I used Chambo, to defend him too. I used to be like, no, like he's left on an island, like blah blah blah, and he just gives you no chance to like defend him. He just keeps making mistakes.
Maybe Chambo.
Okay.
Well, we still have 4 days. So if Mustafi goes, then Chambers is
that's a great pick. Yeah, because like,
he's
4-5 is so cheap to like you can find someone with good fixtures in 3 and 4 and like rotate one spot between Chambo and someone else or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that's very easy to do with a 4-5.
Yeah, you can find rotating 4-5s. I mean, you could if you even want to go this deep, but you could even go like 3-4-5s for 2 spots like the old days.
Yeah, the good old days. And just, that's very reasonable, I think.
Save 1.5 or whatever. All right, so Chambo's good. Villa have like 38 defenders there other than Mings. I've been seeing things about Gilbert
Gilbert is the only one that like interests me. Like he has no
it's Gilbert alone.
Gilbert
fucking,
Frederick
fucking
Gilbert. No, it's Frederick Gilbert.
No, it's Fred Gilbert from Iowa. Fred Iowa Gilbert. City, Iowa.
Yeah, he's...
Fred Gilbert.
That's actually a great name. I like that name a lot. Fred Gilbert.
But he's a card magnet, though, right?
He has no, like... history of attacking prowess. I guess he played maybe under in like a conservative system in France or whatever, but every fucking highlight I've seen of him is like incredible. He's like really, really good on the ball, and his crosses have been really good, and he has a lot of assists this preseason. I just don't, like we said with Heaton, I just don't really back Villa to keep clean sheets. And like, even if you're fucking putting up huge attacking returns and you keep six clean sheets on the season, like, you're still not really fantasy relevant is the problem.
Yep, I agree. So I think Montoya is really interesting at Brighton, 4-5. He's been playing that wing back slash whatever the 4 in the 3-4-3 is.
Yeah, I didn't realize he played a 3-4-3. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Montoya's played every fucking minute of preseason, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he's been going from 3-4-3, I think, in like 3-5-2 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know. He's been playing 3 at the back because, like, when Grob was in, not last game, the game before, I think he might be is going to be doing like 3-4-3 in away games and playing Gross at home with Trossard. I don't remember. Or maybe that was more in a flat back 4. I don't remember exactly. But okay. Montoya playing out of position at 4-5. I mean, we don't often get 4-5 wing backs. So that's someone to monitor, I think.
Yeah.
If not, you know, is one of the on the short list of 4 or 5 options that I like anyway.
Yeah, no, I didn't really know about him, and that's definitely interesting. And we mentioned with Ryan, they do have exceptionally good fixtures, and getting someone who's, even though we think their defense is bad, like getting someone who's attacking paired with the fixtures makes it a lot more tolerable, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people saying, like, Dan Byrne, they just bought him from some championship side, had a really good game the other day, like, bordering man on the match performance. I don't know a fucking thing about him other than he's must be a lad. His name is Dan Byrne.
Dan Byrne. Me. If he's under, like, 6'4", I'd be shocked. He's just probably, like, he's probably a fucking unit, this guy. But, they got him from
Wigan.
He's the
English. He's the English Rodri.
He's a yellow card machine in the championship.
That's great.
I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Montoya is like super interesting, especially because their fullbacks are dog shit. They have such bad fullbacks on this team.
They basically
astonishing.
Like, haven't had fullbacks for like two Ever. Seasons. Yeah, they just have like old guys.
Like Gaetan Bong is still on the book somehow. Yeah. He's so far away from a Premier League player. It's comical.
Yeah, it's actually insane. Yeah, but yeah, Byrne is just another center back, right? So as of now, before they make any sales, it's just like Dunk, Duffy, and Byrne in the middle and wing backs.
Yeah.
And then this could actually, because like, okay, let me open the Brighton page. What's going on here? Because if they sell Duffy or Dunk to Leicester, God, they have no 4-0 guys. That's a shame. How do they not have... They're Brighton. How do they not have any 4-0 defenders on their fucking roster?
Brighton, baby.
I was going to say, maybe Amex. We get like a 4-0 starter or something like that if they sell one of them, you know?
Yeah, no, it's not happening.
It's kind of weird that Dunk is 4-5 and Duffy's 5. Like,
well, Duffy's the counties and the goals. Like, he's such a monster. He has like 4 goals in preseason, dude. He's
fucking
monster.
Last season. Yeah, he is a monster. You're right.
There's only
the
one goal.
The counties and the goals.
there's only one goal that Dunk aims at. It's his own.
Yeah, that's an issue.
He's so bad.
Yeah.
All right, so Brighton, Montoya. I like Montoya.
That's kind of interesting. I'm gonna like table that and look him up a little bit more. Get
yeah, him. I'm very close to just having like Robbo, Van Dijk, and then 3 shithouses in defense.
I mean,
like,
I'll tell you what, it opens up
that.
A lot of fucking shit, man. It's
So we got Phil Bardsley at Burnley. That's another one of Nate's favorites.
Oh God, Nate awesome. Just threw up in his mouth.
But I mean, if we're gonna go Pope, the fixtures are tough, so it's a difficult rotation for them, like the game weeks 2 to 4, but they also have Gibson, which, I mean, if they do get rid of Tarko, Gibson at 4 is just fucking
I mean,
good.
I think the reason that we're super into Pope and not really into any of the 4-5s is because it's similar to, like, Lloris versus like Vertonghen and Alderweireld. It's like they get the same clinching points, obviously, but Lloris and similar to Pope get a ton of saves, save points, and bonus points, and the defenders don't. And if they're the same price, that just is a feels bad. But yeah, 4-0 would be the difference of like making a guy interesting or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, Gibson, if that happens, is one of my, you know, again, we'll know by Friday. The deadline's Friday. Yeah, the actual Friday. Transfer deadline's on Friday. So that's a nice thing. And they, you know, they got fucking Eric Peters, just the embodiment of a Dyche player, back up from Stoke.
Yeah, incredible.
He's just pure Dyche-ism is Eric Peters. So they've got, you know, all the boy, the band.
And it'll probably be, what,
there.
Lowton and Taylor fullbacks and me and Tark. I don't know. Who fucking cares? Fucking cares?
All right. I'm sure Bardsley will be in there, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. We have Newcastle. It looks like they're going to – Brucey's going to stick with that three at the back. So you have Jamal in at 4-5. He's usually five, right?
There's also – right before Newcastle, there's also the Turkish psychopath guy on Leicester. The guy that looks like no country guy. Of old men guy. He plays Soyuncu or whatever. He plays some in preseason. Like, Evans sort of isn't nailed because Soyuncu's been playing a lot of minutes. And it also, if they don't buy a replacement for Maguire, it might just be him and Evans. And he's 4-5 on Leicester, and that's pretty good.
I agree. That's a good show.
Just throwing that out there. But yeah, so back to Newcastle. What were you saying?
Yeah, I mean, Jamal's 4-5. He hasn't been 4-5 the last 2 years. He's 5. I mean, he somehow didn't score a goal last year, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, their fixture is really bad, but, you know, Newcastle 4-5, who knows? I mean, Bruce, if they're going to be three at the back playing like same shithouse park boss that, you know, that they did last season, there could be something there.
And Char's 5, right?
Yeah, Char. Yeah, I mean, Char's out of position striker, so he's
exactly. He's a worldy machine. Yeah. So I guess. Is it going to be like Fernandez is the other center back? That's bad.
It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Ugh, he is so bad. I love making Jamal fun of him, though.
Yeah, no, I take your point. Yeah. I mean, Norwich. I mean, they have like Aarons is supposed to kind of be fullback.
He was like player of the year. Yeah, he's supposed to be very, very good.
Yeah, but he's like an actual little boy child. So, I mean, Norwich seemed like a very strong... Norwich is just so far away from my radar. Like, really? I haven't looked at them at all.
This is the, like, year of nostalgia for us with, like, Norwich and Villa coming back. Because when we started playing fantasy, they were just regulars in the Prem. And it was like good times. I feel nostalgia with both of these teams. But yeah, defensively they're a nightmare and they haven't like reinforced at all, so
yeah,
seems like an easy stay away. Even though Aarons is supposed to be amazing, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Jack O'Connell on Sheffield United is he was their overlapping center back last year. It remains to be seen if Wilder's going to do that this year. But if you're going there for a 4-5, that would be my pick. What do you think? Yeah,
I don't really know anything about their back line. Good. I'm not going to lie. All I know about them is
here by FML.
All I know about them is Lundstrom is 4-0 and he's been starting every game in preseason.
Yeah, good point there. So Lundstrom basically didn't get much of a sniff last year in the championship, but you know Wilder's playing a 3-5-2 this preseason pretty exclusively. And Lundstrom, 4-0, has been playing out of position at CDM. I mean, I don't even know. We've had this conversation before if it's even good if your guy's playing CDM rather than center back. Because it's like you're more likely to get cards. Assists are still hard to come by. And then sometimes you don't even go up for set pieces. But
you get like less clearances and blocks and stuff like that too, probably. Yeah. But whatever.
Anyway,
I mean, the point is he's 4-0 and he's been starting every game. So that's good.
So, I mean, I've seen like, I think like Freeman is the other player that is competing with him or some fucking player. I don't know who it is. And he's like the more defensive option. And then the other dude that they have is a little bit more attacking of an option for that same spot. So, I mean, I don't think it would stun anyone if like by game week 3 or game week 4 Lundstrom doesn't start another game the rest of the season, but
no,
for 4-0 it's like whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, Lundstrom looks like a pretty okay 4-0. That was a good
and the
choke.
Others will totally be like O'Connell, Egan, and like Basham or something like that. Or
yeah.
That's what they ran out last year is probably the same.
Yeah, the Bash. Wait, so
do they have wingbacks worth considering?
So like Enda Stevens is one of the wingbacks from last year who's really good, like attacking statistics, but he's 5. They stuck one in. Yeah, they stuck one in.
Yeah, he had
4
goals, 6 assists last season. It's great.
Yeah,
I mean, he played 4,000 minutes. Actually, 4,029 minutes. So.
All that tells you is he's a fitness monster.
Yeah. I mean, Derek will probably like him. He probably gets up and down the wing.
Fucking Derek.
Bednarek's 4-5.
Yeah, so I mean, there's like Watford and Southampton, 4 or 5 options. It's just like, ugh.
They're
right?
bad. They're, West Ham, too. They're just bad.
West Ham, like, Jopp is 4 or 5. It's looking at what they're up to, playing these 4 guys with fucking Fornals, Lanzini, Allaire, and who am I forgetting?
And Felipe. Anderson.
Like, Felipe is pretty much the only one of those players that I can tell tracks back.
Yeah, I mean, you don't
if he's
want,
like floating.
You don't want to buy a defender when the only cover is Mark Noble and Declan Rice, and the rest of the pitch are just all attackers who are just far forward. Yeah, and like you said, Felipe tracks back and shit, but like they did not address any position on the back line. Like they have Fredericks instead of Zabaleta. Like, is that even good? I don't know. And then they didn't address the rest of the back line, and they still have no midfield. So it's just, they're still just going to be really bad.
Yeah, it's bad. They're going to have a lot of 3-2s this year, I think.
Yeah. They can score goals. They can do that for sure.
All right. So, I mean, wrapping up, the 4, there's also like Rico over Bournemouth. I don't know if he's in a play. I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, as much as you hate Kelly, like a 4-0 Palace starters. Definitely interesting. But yeah, that's basically
if he's starting. I mean,
if he's starting,
still don't know. Still don't know about that. And then there's that other that little boy, Ben Johnson on West Ham. He's been playing a lot in preseason, fullback.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been playing. Someone on Slack was like complaining about it. Didn't understand why he kept starting because he was like the worst player on the pitch.
Well, it's probably because his competition is Fredericks and Zabaleta.
Yeah, he's been playing over Frederick, so I don't know if that's a thing, but it's something.
All right,
I'm just chatting. You know, I'm just chatting.
Yeah, he got
like
62
Max
minutes
or something.
Last
one of our, Max or one of our good West Ham boys on Slack was chatting about it.
Okay.
So what do we learn here? We learn that
there are some interesting guys all need to be rotated, I think.
So what if you have just hypothetically, like you go 2 Liverpool defenders, and then you go like. AMN, Montoya, Diego Montoya, and like some other guy, and you start 2 of 3, and you rotate. You have 5-4-5-4-5 for those 3 spots.
So you're in a 3-back formation in FPL, basically.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
No, you would be starting 4. You would probably be starting
4 defenders, and you have 3 guys for 2 spots. Yeah. So you'd be starting 2 Liverpool. I mean, yeah, I think we'd have to, or the listener would have to put in the work and see about the rotations and stuff. And it probably wouldn't be like totally clean. Like, there's some rotations I saw on Twitter, like, oh, avoid the entire top 6, but they're like bad teams. But if you get the decent players on the teams that we just mentioned, I think you can make it work that. You'll get a lot of points from that spot. I mean, clean sheets are not easily predictable, and they're not consistent, and definitely not as consistent as like attacking returns. But it's still, I think, a reasonable strategy, and it's worked a lot in the past in FPL. And the guys that we're picking on, like if you do get like 2 wingbacks and Maitland-Niles or something, then like they also have the attack returns to maybe fill that out a little bit. So yeah, I think it's reasonable. It's something that I'll probably spend the rest of today tinkering with, at least. You know, okay. I can guarantee that.
And I mean, this is, oh my God, dude, we're on 40 minutes.
Yeah,
already?
We just spent basically like a fucking half hour on 4 or 5 defenders.
All right.
Yeah, we need to speed it up.
Okay. I mean, this is also flying in the face of what we've been talking about investing heavily at the back to a degree. But It's also fun.
It's like it's the mix of both, though, right? Like I like,
yes, it is. You would have two premiums.
Yeah, I like having at least a couple premiums that are just your rocks, and you start every week, and you reliably, you know, can expect like 200-ish points from them, and then rotating another spot or two seems more tolerable and fine. What we don't want is a full defense of like kind of punty shitty guys, because that's just bad.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to mids.
So mids, we're doing 6-5 and under.
So
how can we speed this up but still do what we just did? Because I like.
Well, that we're going to be able to go really, really quick through the 6-5 mids because there's like three.
All right, so well, there's Gross, who is great, and I really like. But he's
also not playing in the 3-4-3. Yeah, so he's about not to an say. Option at
yeah.
All.
So Potter, looking back, is like he rotates a lot, and so it should not be surprising to anyone to see like a few attackers in one game and different attackers in the next game. Maybe it's a home away rotation like you said, but yeah, I mean, it's basically just a stay away. As much as I like him and like the prospects of him under Potter, it's just you can't.
All right, I mean, while we're on Brighton, let's just bang this out because they've got all these guys. So Trossard at 6 is kind of out of position ish in the 3-4-3. He's playing like up forward. He's been playing him, I think, with like Lokaida,
yeah,
as well, or Jahan Bosch or something.
Lokaida and Murray have been starting almost every game, and Trossard has also been starting like every game.
Yeah, one thing I can tell you from the Brighton forums that I've been spending too much time on is that everyone says that Lokaida is horrible, and he just
shouldn't
be in the team.
Everyone says that Trossard's been amazing.
Yeah, so Trossard's been in and out of my team, but it's obviously a huge punt, and this is something like I told myself I would not do, and it will be very. I mean, I will see all the discipline of my soul to control myself here, but he's been like kind of man of the matchy, and he has a lot of indirect set pieces. It sounds like all preseason, but I just don't know if that's going to translate with FPL points. Is the concern for me? But
right.
He's 6, so you know, at that 6 spot, there's not a ton, and they do have a few good fixtures. Could be an okay like 2 or 3 game week, kind of see what he's up to. I mean, no one owns him, so you'd be hard pressed to expect a price drop, even if he did blank for 2 or 3 first couple.
Yeah,
so I like him. I
really don't dislike a team that has like 1-ish punt like this. Like,
yeah,
the template right now has 0 punts. I mean, it's just like
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's just like heavy at the back. It's like Fraser, Perez, like, you know, it's just like very template, everyone that was good last season basically, and just very safe and like blah blah blah, and like, yeah, you don't really love that. You want to try and have a little fun and also find like, because one of the some 6-0 is going to be good, like some 5-5 is going to be good. Like, it's really fun to try and find that upside guy, and it's not that much of a risk to just have one spot that's there and that you can like spend your transfers on and stuff. I mean, it might not be the best strategy. It's probably safer and better to just go with a template team, but it's not how we really like to play.
Yeah, it's fun. Having fun is fun.
Yeah,
so, okay, so that's
fun.
Fine about Brighton, whatever. So yeah, I guess else. The other thing, I mean, we've been all over Iose.
Yeah.
We have Tielemans also there at 6-5. What do you, has he been in and out of your team at all, or have you just been
or
with Iose?
I haven't tinkered with him at all. I mean, I like the player a lot, and I like the look of him, and I really do rate him and think he's class, but he's just like, I don't know, he's like the secondary assist guy, because Matto is further forward and like, you know, actually passing into the box and like more assist potential, and I just don't see a reason to really ever go Tielemans there, unless you're like tripling Leicester attack or something. I think he's comfortably the fourth best Leicester option in FPL behind like Vardy, Perez, Matto, Tielemans, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, what
Perez seems fucking great though. I mean,
yeah,
we talked about
I feel
him
like we've been
week.
Talking about him a lot.
Yeah, we talked about him last week.
He hasn't left my team in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's good.
He's just great. What about Redders?
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Has he even been playing? He's been like sort of in and out.
I think he has been playing kind of in like more of that support role, though, because he's still playing Che and Dings.
Yeah, I mean, because his minutes have been 63, 45, 29, 45. Like, very inconsistent. I'm not positive he even has a role in this team, because there's going to be two up top, and it's probably going to be Ings and Che, and they're both way better than him. I don't know. I haven't fucked with Redmond at all.
Yeah. Okay. So West Ham's starting to get a lot of buzz because that front four has been interchanging, looking really good.
Yeah, the front four is good. They have two
6-5 options with Lanzini and Fornals. Do you see anything there worth punting on?
Yeah, someone recently DM'd us on Twitter about Lanzini, and I was just like, no, not interested. But he has been sort of the number 10. Like, it's been Fornals and Felipe have been the wider guys. Allaire just starts every game and has been great. And then Lanzini's kind of been the 10, and he's scoring all these worldies, which, you know, isn't really reliable or consistent, but he keeps doing them. And, you know, he's class. We've seen him be really good in the Premier League before. I mean, he was linked for a Coutinho replacement, you know, 2 years ago. You know, he can be really good, but I still don't – I don't really trust his, like, goal scoring as something to rely on. I haven't really fucked with it either. Have you?
Yeah, I've fucked with Lanzini. I've been fucking with him a lot.
Okay.
I'm like obsessed with Lanzini. Yeah, he's always one of my favorite players. Yeah. I've owned him like 6 different times in FPL.
Holy shit.
He's a classy guy. It seems like he's been playing around with those positions for those three behind Allaire a lot. Mm-hmm. Lanzini is sometimes like, you know, between playing on the wing and central, same with Fornals. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lanzini, everything that I keep seeing is, you know, everyone laments his work rate defensively, just doesn't do it. So everyone's kind of like, okay, then let him float and just play in behind and
right,
whatever, which is ideal. And the other thing that's very interesting is that, you know, Allaire looks like this tendency to really just be the hold up merchant, and someone's got to run in behind him to score.
Yeah, his name's Jack Wilshere.
So Lanzini's very interesting to me. I understand the consistency's never been there, but it's really been like more to, I think, like injuries. So yeah. I don't know. I have just a rock hard raging one for West Ham. They have so many guys.
Yeah, their attack
want them
is
all
extreme sex. Like, it's just like so fun and new and awesome. Like, no idea what they're gonna do. Their back seven is absolute dog shit, and their front four
don't
is
play
so
with the back
fun
seven.
And good. Yeah.
It's just like Jack. They play with one DM, like two children at fullback, and like Jop and Balbuena, who are just kind of bad.
Yeah, so. And they're like, Fab, bail us out, dude. We need 11 saves today to win. Allaire, like, to your point, just for people who haven't been following, like, in their last preseason game against Bilbao, like, the first goal was Allaire hold up, then like a good pass into Fornals.
No, the first goal was Allaire own goal.
What do you mean? Oh, really? Did he?
Own goal. Oh, yeah. Own goal immediately. It's like 10 minutes
that.
In.
I like
that. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah,
Maitland-Niles
also
own goal.
He got to open his account.
Yeah, there's good vibes but with the own goal
guys. But keep going, sorry.
But yeah, no, it was just like Allaire basically to Fornals, who overheaded it, overhead kicked, bicycle kicked it, it was saved, and Lanzini scored. And then the next one was just also Allaire, really good hold up, found Jack with a late run into the box, who slotted it. And it's just, to your point, and like Kaylee mentioned it on the Fireside Chat, like, his passing is just so good. Like, he's also a good goal scorer, Allaire, and like, you know, I'm sure he'll score plenty of goals. He might even take pens if Noble's not on the pitch, who knows, but his passing is incredible. Like, he had 9 assists last season, and that was barely even overshooting his XA. So, yeah, I mean...
The thing about that with Allaire, right, is that is going to make him a bonus point machine. Because that's the thing that... Like, he doesn't take that high of a volume of shots, so he's not going to be, like, missing the target and shit a lot. But he's going to be creating and setting up chances. So he's going to... If he scores, like, a goal, even if he doesn't get an assist, he's probably going to be nailed for those three, right?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that is a really good point. Yeah, I mean, he has potential to basically put up, like, a better than Jimenez season last season numbers. Like he has real potential to be like a double digit goals, double digit assists guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's in my team right now.
Allaire?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, you bad boy.
he's so good. He's so fun.
I mean, I really like the look of him. They have and we mentioned this last pod, I think, when we were talking about Felipe, but they have home city nightmare. But then they go on a pretty decent run of fixtures for a while. So, you know.
The one thing, although we have to move on from West Ham, but the caveat is that there is some chatter about them needing Antonio in the midfield because it's too lightweight and too much of a joke.
And probably needing a goal scorer. Yeah, I mean, that's a shock.
Just so that they have someone who will play defense a little bit. So yeah. I don't know if the balance is going to be so atrocious and they lose fucking 6-1 to City, which is definitely possible.
It's absolutely and on
then,
the cards.
And then, I mean, if Pellegrini fucking plays Jack in this 4-2-3-1 against City, they're going to get worked. Man. Yeah. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. So, I mean, I don't know if Pellegrini is just like throwing out the City game and he's going to play like all these little bus guys and just bus and try and lose 2-0, but okay.
Antonio is also maybe their best right back, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I don't, he's always been good at fullback, right back whenever he's played there. Yeah,
just throwing that out there. So that's all 6-5 guys, right?
Yeah, so 6, we talked about Trossard. What do you see at the 6? I know you like Grealish.
Grealish. A big part of it is, again, I keep saying this, but the fixtures are just absolutely incredible. If you're going to like he's obviously punty because he's on a promoted side and he's a 6 million, but he's their main man, elite passer, you know, good numbers. I feel like he'll just tick comfortably for the first 9 game weeks when the fixtures are that good. But going past that, I don't know. But getting someone who ticks comfortably for the first 9 games is a good thing. So
yeah, I don't know. I'd rather have him again. I mean, he's 5'5", and it looks like he's a little more involved in like the final action.
Yeah, Grealish, he might be more of a goal scorer. Yeah, that's Grealish. A shout. Yeah.
I mean, McGinn's numbers were nothing to write home about last year in the championship with, again, like a 4,000-minute thing, whatever. But I just feel like Grealish is going to be more like progressing the ball, like, you know,
Kayla that's what Kayla was saying. Like, yeah. he's kind of the hockey assist guy. And McGinn you got to pump the brakes on preseason hype a little bit, but like he's been destroying. Like he has 3 goals in the last 2, and one of them was like that insane, like touchline worldie.
Yeah. I mean, McGinn, he hasn't for 1 second, his name hasn't even like been on my flash to my team for a second. Yeah. I don't know people that are playing with starting with him, but I mean, his name's McGinn. Like that's a bartender's name. He's a bartender. I don't know.
He's good. And for 5'5", that's probably like as good as you can get. But
I want to talk about this fucking guy on Edward Howe's team, Arno Danjuma Groeneveld.
Okay, yeah, they just bought him, right?
The fuck is that?
They just bought him.
Yeah. Yeah, his name's Danjuma. It's a legend. Sounds like this is Danjuma. This is like Texas high school football stud. Danjuma.
That's such an interesting name. Especially paired with prevent Groeneveld. King from playing? I have no idea what his deal is.
I've never heard of him. Groeneveld is like a Harry Potter villain or something.
Yeah, he played 90 in their last preseason game. He just got there. Brooks, so is there any... Can we take advantage of Brooks being out for a long time or no? Like, is there any...
How could that happen? How is that possible?
Like, is someone else going to play like that wide mid and just be good? Like, I don't know.
I mean, if Andrew Sermon's not in the team sheet day one, I'll be stunned. I have no idea. How could anyone know? Like fucking Stan's Stan probably like tore his ACL yesterday again. Who knows? And Ibe is obviously a fucking nightmare for FPL. Yeah. He comes and goes. And I mean, Danjuma is the key. Yeah,
never
I don't
mind.
Know who he is
there's
or what
no,
he does.
There's nothing. There's nothing.
No, it's Danjuma. It's going to be Danjuma. Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew, a 20 goal scorer this season. You heard it here first.
So we mentioned Trossard already. Don't really want to talk about Burnley. And do you have things to say about Barkley or Mount? I mean, a lot of people are going that way, but I don't want to talk about them.
I mean, I think we just need to make clear the ire for the player of Wasp Barkley. It's just we've said it time and time again. But I mean, if his name was like Ross Barkweld and he was German, no one would even be talking about him.
Yeah, he'd be on Huddersfield.
Yeah, it's just a nonsense. I mean, I get the pens. He's taking a couple pens or whatever, but
yep.
Mount is his boy. They have 5,000 midfielders. We don't know what formation they're going to play. We don't know the team they're going to pick. I just don't.
We don't even know how long it's going to take to get a safe lineup. So, like, even game week one and two, like, may not tell us anything going forward, you know? And it's all.
It's just there's. Yeah. Like, if you're punting on this spot, like, you can't punt on someone who's not even remotely close to being nailed. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. Because then you're booking a transfer on a spot where, you know, you want to try and get away with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, if it's your only pun 11th man and you have, like, King and, you know, Raz, Mo, like, heavy defense, whatever, and you're punting on one spot and you're British and you want to get Ross, then, like, fucking fine, dude, like, whatever. But just know the risk and just know what you're getting into there.
Yeah, and also it's like,
I don't think it's going to end pretty.
Someone in Slack was mentioning Tammy Abraham, and I'm very interested. I mean, Tammy's great. He's class. He's been starting and looking good. He's played way more minutes than Bats and Giroud. But what I wrote to him is just there's just no upside to getting to starting with him game week one. Like, that in the absolute best world scenario, he starts off red hot. You know, scores like a couple goals first two game weeks or something like that. So you get like maybe let's just say a net of like 10 points or something, because, you know, obviously other people have, you know, other players playing who maybe blanked one of two or blanked both. You're not gaining that many points on the field. And then everyone gets him, you know, and everyone didn't have to start their team with that risk. And now if Tammy's red hot and nailed and looking good, then everyone transfers him in by like game of two or three or whatever. And you no longer have the like quote unquote advantage of starting with him. You know, that you just get so little for taking that risk that it's just not worth it.
Yep, well said.
Yeah, thanks. So Townsend, is he nailed in your team or?
you know how to needle. You just know.
I wish Harvey Barnes is nailed because I fucking love that motherfucker, but he's not.
Well, it looks like Albs is in that team.
Yeah, I think Albrighton is, you know, sure. I guess Albrighton's in. So yeah, right. Barnes is out.
Just a name to stash away for the future. Buendia, I've read a lot of really good things about him. Like, the fixtures are just horrific in the first few, and Norwich might just be a whipping boy this whole season. Wouldn't surprise me at all, but someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he had a massive season last season. It's supposed to be really good.
I don't see anything else at the sixth spot.
I mean, Newcastle are so bad, but Almiron must be said, like, in flashes looked really good last season. And I don't know if Almiron he can finish, but
he has scored zero goals for the team since he's gotten here.
Yeah, I mean, he played 700 minutes or whatever. Like, I'm just saying he looked good. If Joey Linton is good or something and Almiron is running in behind, sure, whatever.
No, it's Jonjo's team. It's got to be Jonjo, if anyone.
Yeah, I actually do like the Jonjo pick. There's also JWP, which is slightly interesting.
It's not interesting to me. I mean, he's not on pens. If Dings was dead, then it would be interesting. But if he doesn't have pens, I think he's just too lightweight.
I mean, he's never really gotten like a full season, and he's just straight up never gotten. He's only played like he plays like half the minutes every season. But he was nailed and pretty good under Ralph and scoring all those free kicks and stuff. And he could be good. You know, he's on all the corners and indirects also.
They should have put him at 5-5. He's overpriced.
If he was 5-5, he'd probably be in a lot of teams. But yeah, he's interesting to me. He's interesting.
Being in some teams compared to zero teams is usually a good thing with the pricing. Yeah, that's my good. Position,
that means you priced him correctly.
The fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah. All right. So moving on, I think.
So 5-5, I mean, like Westwood is 5-5. He got a big price hike. I don't know. I mean, 5-5, there's just nothing there. We talked about McGinn. Is there any names you want to throw out? Albrighton's 5-5. I don't know if he's going to be sticking there. Like, they have a lot of options.
It's like getting someone that's 0 to 2 goals and like 5 to 8 assists is just not good. Like, it's just. I wish that that was good enough to put in your team, but it's just not. So I'm just like not looking at him at all.
Yeah, I mean Hughes is 5'5". He's been playing. I mean, I don't know if he'll get any points, but he's just a name. I'm just saying out of my face right now.
Yeah, Patrick Roberts is 5'5", to monitor.
Is that the Sheffield United guy who's playing out of position?
No, he was the former City midfielder that Norwich bought, and he's been lighting it up in preseason.
Oh yeah. Okay, who am I talking about? That fuck
Sheffield guy,
Callum something or
Robinson.
Robinson, right? Yeah. So I mean, I've seen him and some team people trying to like get away with one, and it's. I mean, they just bought the little sock guy, Ollie McLady. They have lease. They haven't integrated yet. I just there's no world in my life that I can imagine this some random fuck is going to be playing up top after they just spent like 50 mil.
Yeah,
so
he's scoring.
I think that's
a ton of goals.
I think it's a hard. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fucking horrible pick. So
yeah.
I hope everyone has him.
Yeah, there's not really many others. There's a lot of DMs here. At five, yeah, I mean, are there any guys?
So, I mean, Jackington is there. You know, you could always rotate Jack and feel great about it. Jonjo, also five.
I legitimately think he's a pretty good pick.
I've been playing around. I've had Jonjo in my draft a few times. I just think he's so bad for like a good team to like be good because his position, he just wants to not play defense, but he's defensive midfield. I agree. I mean, he's going to have, especially with Richie out now, he's going to be on a lot of set pieces and he's five. Like, I don't know. Like, if you could rotate Jonjo and Jack, you're just going to be like getting 2 and 3 points every week safely.
Like, I want to put it in a little bit of statistical perspective for the listeners who probably think we're just complete idiots and talking out of our ass right now. But like Jonjo 15-16 was 0.23 XA per 90. Last season, 0.18 XA per 90. To put that in perspective, like last season, that's like top 20. Like we're talking about like Siggy was 0.19, Philippe Anderson 0.2, like fucking Sun 0.17. Like these legitimate FPL options who are good, and you know, obviously those guys are good because they also score goals and they're on better teams and stuff, but like Jonjo actually is an incredible passer and creator. And if he's just starting every week and playing 3,000 minutes, like he's probably going to be like 8, 9, 10 assists kind of guy, because that's actually how good he is, and that's like proven over his career. Like he's been very consistent in that regard. He's a psycho. He's got red card potential. He's got own goal potential. You know, he's
got falling out with teammates and or manager at any instant potential.
Oh, absolutely. Like cocaine, hookers, like STDs. He's got really the full package. But if he's just starting every week and you know, has a bit of a free roll because he can't defend anyway, like he will approach like 10 assists. That's who he is.
I love him so much.
I'm being serious. It's like fucking crazy, but it's like, yeah, he is that good. And for some reason, I mean, not for some reason, because Rafa played so conservatively and like all like defenders, basically, like he didn't fit into the plans, but Bruce will let him run free, I think.
Jonjo and Jack, it's just the match made in heaven.
Ugh, Jack, I wish he was nailed. He might be.
Jack was so good last game. Højbjerg, five, whatever, it's a name.
He's fine. He's not good for FPL.
I think we're done here. I mean, the 4-5 is Dendonker. Everyone
in the world has Dendonker. I think Hayden is also reasonable. He seems to be pretty nailed, and he's pretty good last season.
Yeah, he might be. They did just buy that new kid. I'm not sure how he's going to fit in. Someone's going to miss out between, because Hayden was pushing for a move, right? But he just didn't get it. And then he's been playing a lot in preseason. But I mean, again, you know, they bought that new kid for a bunch of money. So someone's going to have to miss. Like, fuck staff is not going to miss out.
Right.
It could be Jonjo. I mean, it could be Jonjo.
So one to monitor, I guess. But Dendonker's the guy that everyone has. And he's just like an actual starter and pretty good. So that's easy.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Forwards.
So what do you think about King? I mean, I think he's a very bad pick and I have no interest and haven't played with him once. That's my summary.
I don't think he's a very bad pick. I think he's like a conventional wisdom type pick for a reason. Like when you're looking at all these 6'5" guys, you know, everyone's got their warts, and you know, Bournemouth have the two promoted sides, 1-2, and then you know you are in position to reassess after that. He's obviously relying on pens, but it's just one of those where I get it. Like I look around and I'm like trying to convince myself of any of these guys and I can't do it. So if you're just like King, Pens, Bournemouth, two promoted, blah blah blah, like fine. But yeah, I'm not gonna go there. I don't like him. I'm not gonna have fun if I look at my team in the opening weekend after like all these months off and waiting for my team and I fucking Josh fuck me King in my team. Yeah. It's like that's not what I'm doing.
I mean that's my who assessment. He is, if like you said, relying on pens, and what we mean by that is like over the last two seasons combined, he's over 400 minutes per open play goal. So you're basically saying, I'm getting this guy who has two good opening fixtures, but the fixtures don't really matter because he can't score an open play, so you need a pen. And then he has City in game week 3, away Leicester game week 4. I just don't get it at all. There's actual 6'5 guys that score an open play and are like actual strikers, and they're just better. And I hate relying on pens because it's just complete luck. So, I just think it's a very bad pick. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to have him. You obviously aren't going to have him. So, that's that.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, I'm looking around to the with the sheep everywhere else and other people's chatter and the pundits. And everyone's like, oh, King, 6'5", like great savings, Bournemouth, blah, blah, blah. It's like, when, as you say, you look under the hood, if the player is scoring an open play goal one in every 5 or 6 games, that's fucking atrocious. So I agree.
One of those weird things where you get a player because they're on a decent attacking team in Bournemouth with good fixtures, but if they don't do anything in open play, you're not actually getting, like, you're not reaping the benefits of having someone on that team, if that makes sense. Like, his points are almost completely individual. Like, he has nothing to do with how the team scores. Like, the team can win 4-0 in open play and he'll have nothing to do. And they can lose 4-1 and he gets a pen. And like, it almost has nothing to do with the rest of the team when he gets his points, as far as I can tell. So, I don't know. Don't like it. But
yeah, kind of like a coverage pick. So, 6'5", there's still, you know, a handful of names. What do you like?
There's a bunch of starters. I mean, I don't hate either of the Burnley guys. I've gone on record before as liking kind of both of them. Deulofeu's hurt. I don't know what's going on with that. He's been in my team for like 2 weeks. I actually feel really, really good with him to start the season. The big like warts on him and the big complaints that people have is that he scored basically all of his goals against like West Ham, Huddersfield, and Fulham last season. I don't mind that personally. To me, that just means he's the flat track bully and you can rely on him in good fixtures. And they have really good opening fixtures. They have home Brighton, away Everton's not great, home West Ham, away Newcastle. So I'm like, sure, he might be a flat track bully, but like, I'm going to start the season with that. I can rely on him. He's really good in those matches. And then, you know, then I'll transfer him out in game week 5. So I really like Deulofeu. I just don't know about this injury.
Yeah, I'm definitely not hot on Deulofeu at all. Okay. He just, like, he's getting a price hike and he's reclassified to a worse spot for him, in my opinion. And it just, like, doesn't seem like he gets that many chances. And Watford in general are kind of a mixed bag. He goes missing in games a lot. Gracia doesn't have any problem subbing him really early. He did that a lot last season. They have a lot of other options that he can throw up top with Gray, etc. I just don't like him. I don't like him at all. I don't see I just don't see the upside with him that much.
And the upside is that in the easy, like, quote unquote easy fixtures last season, he was basically really good all season. He has hat trick potential. That's the upside. Like, he can just take over any of these games against these awful teams that he's playing against and just destroy. And like, his underlying numbers are really good. And most of the subs kind of happened when, like, he didn't start the season as a starter, and then later they were in the cup really late. They made it to the final.
He got a little injured. Yeah,
yeah, and he was kind of rotated then. But most of the season,
you're fine. So, but the injury is a concern. So you'll have to monitor.
Yeah,
and
so I don't know what's going on with that.
I mean, that is like all man's panic station crisis if you go with him and he's just not in the squad. I mean, for Gimmick One, you just you want to end it all.
That's a, end it all. That's like stop stop potting, stop recording. Like that's just
I hate Ashley Barnes. I think that's an atrocious pick. I think he's a fucking shithouse. But okay. I think Wood, you know, he's getting the momentum in preseason and he passes. Barnes is in no way, shape, or form an eye test pass for me.
Yeah, Barnes just looks, is an underlying number guy and a pen guy, and Wood is eye test.
Yeah, like Barnes is an I don't know guy. Like he's just somehow like getting the deflection off the set piece and tapping it in guy. Like I don't know what he does good.
His numbers were crazy
like he does everything bad. Yeah, I just don't know. But Wood looks like a player that could, like, if he gets more reliable minutes, that he could push the 15, 17 goal mark. He's just a unit, and he's, you know, he's really started to adapt and bed in. Like, he was really good towards the end of last season. The minutes are concerning with J-Rod there. You know, just don't know what's going to happen. And Burnley's opening fixtures are, you know, a little bit of a mixed bag. So he's one I definitely would keep an eye on, though. Like, after the first four game weeks, they have a nice run.
If he's still getting minutes. Do you remember when I went crazy on Chris Wood, like, two seasons ago or something in preseason?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's last season.
You love him.
Like,
I don't remember, but yeah, I remember.
In 17-18, he also had 10 open play goals, same as last season, but he played a lot less minutes. He played 1,000 less minutes. So you can imagine like his underlying numbers were that much better. Like he's always kind of put up really good like non-penalty XG, and he's just good. Like he's a really weird player because he's a unit, but he's not Rondon. He's not like a header guy or anything like that. He's actually like good at dribbling and decent passer and like, yeah, he's just good.
His movement's really good. He like uses his body really well against center backs to get good positions to get shots off.
Yeah, his rosy cheeks are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like Wood, yeah.
Yeah, like Wood. Okay,
Pookie. I don't really need to go into that, though, because their fixtures are away Liverpool, home Newcastle, home Chelsea, away West Ham, home City. So we're not going there. But maybe game week six, interested.
I don't like Pookie at all. But what about Jota? I'm still seeing people with Jota. They got the Italian dude coming in. I think they have a midweek game every week for the first like four, and their opening fixtures are horrible. But I mean, I'm still seeing Jota in like a lot of teams. What do you think about that?
Those last two points that you just said are the reason that I haven't considered him. Their Europa schedule is a fucking nightmare, and their fixtures are really, really, really bad. They have one good fixture in the first five. I mean, really, first six. Like, away Palace isn't good either. And I really rate Jota. I really like him. I think he's better than Jimenez, not just because he's cheaper. I just think he's straight up better and just really, really good. But there's no apps. I see like no reason to start with him. Like I just don't get it at all. When they have a good fixture on later, maybe they're knocked out of Europa, then like talk to me. But to start with him, it just seems bad.
I agree. So 6 million, you know, again, a handful of guys of Wesley on Villa. There's Muzza, J-Rod, Bentekkers. I mean, Bentekkers is great. Don't really need to tell you much more about that. We got the Dings and Che on Southampton. What do you, we have Joelinton. What are you seeing at six?
I mean, for the 50 millionth time this pod, I'll just mention Wesley. I don't really know that much about him. He had a really good scoring record in like a farmers league, but again, the Villa fixtures are out of control and he's been scoring in preseason. I think like it's interesting. Like I don't know what to like what do you want out of a 6-0 guy? Like let's say you are starting one just to start the season, you have this one slot that's 6-0 punt kind of guy. I feel like you want the upside of like fixtures more than you want someone who's like, you know, like maybe like a Grealish who's like quote unquote dependable, even though like he might not be involved, you know? Like I would rather have someone like Wesley who's like, you know, home Bournemouth, home Everton, away Palace, home West Ham, 2-5. Like maybe he scores a bunch of goals. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you want like 3 goals in 5 or 6,
right?
Basically.
And I think Spurs is awful, but 2, 3, 4, 5 are some of the incredible fixtures. So I think you could get that with someone like Wesley. So I do like that.
Okay. Villa, I just don't know what they're doing. I don't want to pay to find out. I'm happy to watch and then see.
The thing that like kind of got me into Villa besides their fixtures was their manager's very attacking. He has like a history of being like a very like playing attractive football, very good attacking football. And then last season, obviously they weren't one of the automatic promoted teams, but there was a point when Graylish was injured for like 3 months and they were just awful in that period. They were just complete dog shit. But either side of it, they were incredible. They went on like an 18 match win streak or something like that, and they were just great.
They have Farka or whatever, Farky boy. Yeah.
Oh wait, no, that's Norwich.
They're
Dean Smith.
Dean Smith.
Yeah.
Fucking Fark Smith Wilder.
Fark is really scary looking.
I'm gonna get them wrong all the time.
Complete assassin. Fark's maniac.
On Norwich.
Yeah, he's like a Bond villain vibe. he looks really scary, but that's all I have to say about Wesley. But yeah, I think there's potential there.
Okay. I mean, I still like Dings a lot.
Yeah, Ings and Adams, I think, are reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, Adams is doing it in preseason. Again, it's like I caution against like the new shiny toy. And, you know, I still reference back to Ding's like points per 90 is up there in like the top 10 in the division. He just doesn't play because he dies all the time. Yeah. But, I mean, did you see his second penny miss the other day?
No.
Oh, my God. He did some insanely stupid stutter and then just passed it like directly to the keeper. Like keeper didn't even think about moving. He just like soft lob like caught it. It was just like he slotted the first pen. He slotted one pen. The second one he had a little oopsie daisy. But I still think Dings at six is. I'm surprised how little people are talking about him or putting him in, just because he is a very very proven track record of scoring when he's fit and he's on a good attacking team. He's done it before. And it's like, that's the thing that I keep coming back to. If I'm tending to not want any of these guys, like I'm trying to steer clear of this bracket.
Yeah.
But I don't see like such a good argument that I'm spending 0.5 more for any of the 6.5 guys to Ings. Like I haven't heard that yet. That I've been like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's worth 0.5.
Yeah, so I think that's correct. I mean, Ings, so like, the shots, like he just gets so many shots. Like he's not a good finisher, but getting shots is one of those weird things that like people don't think of as a skill. It's a massive skill. It's like literally what makes Harry Kane good is just getting shots off. And Ings just has done it for his entire career. Like you said, the track record. No one else that's this cheap has remotely anything close to the track record of Ings.
I mean, that said, he had 7 goals last year, 1 goal the year before, 0 minutes played dead the year before, and 2 goals the year before. So maybe we're overblowing the track record. But
no, the track record's there. I mean, I don't care if he I don't care if he scores 1 goal because he plays 263 minutes. He's not dead now. And also another thing with his season last season that is also not talked about enough is that he didn't really play under Ralph. Like he was first half of the season was before he got really injured. So he wasn't even under Hasenhüttl when they got way better and way like better attacking numbers and stuff like that. So like the potential for him to do better than last season on like a per 90 level, I think is there also.
Yeah, and there is the potential also that it's like 2 games played, 3rd game, Adams and Redder's up top, Ings just on the bench. Like, I don't know.
Get injured tomorrow, and that would also not be surprising.
Yeah, but I just want to throw Ings out there because I have not been hearing or seeing him getting much love anywhere. And I think that's misguided. I think he's just a very reasonable, safe hand at 6. I know the fixtures aren't great, but you know, he does have pens, which is something, and you know, he's one of those that you just kind of know what you're gonna get. Like you say, you know, the shot. So I think that's a good shot.
And Che Adams, I don't know. Who knows? Tio Arnautovic is all about him. Guess Jason might start with him. He looks like he's kind of a beast. He's owning in preseason. Like, sure, I'm fine with it. I'm actually totally fine with.
Oh no, I'm very very fine with the Che punt. Yep. I'm just saying in terms of like our stay with this tried and tested method options or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And then like Sharp's a piece of shit, and I think that's about it. I mean, I guess DCL now since Keane went through. That's we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about him.
I mean, what do you think about Muzz? The Muzz is still loose. They didn't buy a striker.
I don't like it.
Oh, Alon.
I had such a bad time with him last season. I didn't think I could ever go Glenn Murray again. But,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, he should still score probably around the same number of goals, like 12, 13, 14. something like that. He's old and slow and bad, but he can finish. I don't know.
Yeah, that pretty much sums him up.
I'm looking through if there's anyone else. Who's going to start at striker for Palace? Like, is Wickham
Benteke.
Got a no. shout? Yeah, it's just going to be Benteke.
100%. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Wickham at this point
Jordan Ayew?
Jordan Ayew is a trash player, but at this point, Wickham is actual third in the pecking order behind Ayew. Yeah. I mean, Ayew can play multiple positions.
Yeah, he runs around. He just can't score. Yeah,
he's not good at any of them, but he can play multiple positions, so I don't know. But yeah, no, Benteke is nailed to a post.
Okay, just checking. So there's no other real goals, right? Starter shout or anything like that, cheaper.
Well, I mean, there is Lokaida mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's happening with Mane, but Origi for like a game, maybe, we don't know.
Yeah, but that's just so worthless.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Solanke's at 5-5, you know, who knows.
I mean, he's better than King, but I doubt he takes the slot.
I agree with both of those statements. McGoldrick, he's been playing. I don't know.
Yeah, he kind of plays. I mean, Greenwood and shit, but they're not going to start.
Yeah, so why don't we just look at the 4-5s, because I know everyone's got, like, pretty much everyone's got, like, one. So, I mean, Greenwood is on 14% ownership.
Yeah, it's extremely high.
I mean, that scares me. But what do you think? What do you think about the little wee lad Mason?
I mean, now it's been, like, he was really, really hot in preseason. Now it's been three straight games of him not doing shit, and his minutes have gone down every single game, basically. And they're probably getting Dybala, so
he's just... No, that's off. I think that's
done. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Regardless, I just... Like, he seems promising, and maybe he'll get some sub minutes, but I just don't really see a world in where he, like, becomes a starter. At least not now.
Yeah, it would take probably multiple injuries, but it's back to the price issues. I mean, I did say obviously that oftentimes, you know, these dead ends on the bench are taken out by wild card, but not like all the time. And 14% is very high. So we remember what happened with like Kamara last season. Like, I think he started at 4-5, ended at like 4-2. That's the kind of direction that Greenwood could go. So.
And also, I mean, it shouldn't be understated that he's on Manchester United and they might be decent and you don't want to waste a spot on that. Like, that has been in my thoughts.
That's fair.
Let's just say their defense looks pretty good. Like, they have reasonably priced defenders. Like, Paul could be an option, Rash, Martial. There's potential guys you would want on that team, and you're not going to want to just have like a non-starter 4-5 that you have to deal with to get them.
I mean, it's perhaps a stretch to say that you'd want three, but yeah, I take your point.
No, but it's possible, you know?
It's possible.
It's an unnecessary risk, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Alon. That's a good point by you, Pod Partner.
Thanks, Pod Partner.
I mean, I've been on Wickham. I think he's flat out better than Benteke. I would be starting him if I were Roy, no questions asked, but that's not the world we live in. So when Benteke gets injured, which hopefully will happen quickly, I think there could be a case that Wickham forces his way into the team, especially since we just pocketed all the owners pocketed all of the 1B money and we're buying fucking no one. No it looks one. Like the Camarasa deal is going to be over the line, so that's a good job. But
I actually like Camarasa, so that's
he's
good.
Great. He's a perfect player for us, and in true Palace fashion, I think it's a loan, but there's an obligation to buy if we stay up for like 15 mil or something.
I don't know,
whatever it is, but I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know why I'm talking about that. I'm talking about
Wickham is the best number nine at the club.
Yeah,
I don't even think that's not like a hot take. It seems just like easy.
It's very clear that he's the best number nine, and he's the only nine that could score 10 plus goals. I mean, Benteke could play 4,000 minutes, he wouldn't score 10 goals. There's no, that's yeah,
but,
serious.
But
like,
his XG
no
will
question.
Be out of control. Don't forget about that.
I mean, his XG should consistently be out of control. He's just always unmarked in the box. Like, why would someone mark Benteke? He's fucking horrible.
It's just
like, it's basically a turnover. Like, if you don't mark him in the box on a set piece, it's a turnover. You get the ball back because he's just going to head it.
It's sad that Palace released Bakary Saka.
I don't think it's sad. I'm not sad about that.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, no, if you're not sad, then I'm not sad. Roadman on Slack said, is going with 265s to start a bad idea because there's a lot of unreliability in this price range? Like, how many of these guys that we talked about today, like, would you feel comfortable starting with?
Like, comfortable is a very
comfortable enough
term.
That you would start with them. Not like, yeah, I don't mean like confident, but like, okay. Like, Perez is 6'5", but I don't really think
of him as 6'5".
Oh, are
you talking about midfield also?
I'm just talking about, like, he's talking about like all of these cheap price guys, I think. Like, how many like punts, quote unquote punts, are you comfortable starting? Yeah, I'm on two right now. And
but that's if you think Iose. I don't think Iose is a punt at all.
Me neither. I mean, he's priced 6'5", so he's in this conversation, but he's just seems nailed and good. So
realistically, one.
Yeah, I guess one. Yeah, I guess one.
I mean, you could go two, but we see, you know, there's a dearth of options like at the forward spot and the 6'5 and under, but do you think they're going to be like two at the same time that both look really good? Like, I don't know.
The thing that like no one really talks about in these like cheaper price brackets is that like there's a chance that none of them start well. Like, it's nice and warm and fuzzy to be like, well, if, you know, like, you're a Villa fan and you start with Wesley, like, well, if he's no good, I'll just go to, like, Che Adams. So it's like, well, Che Adams might not be good either, and Ings might be dead, and, like, Joey Linton might be bad, and then you have no one to go to, you know, and that is also part of the risk.
I don't know. There's so many guys between 6 and 6'5" forward, though, that there's going to be like somebody.
Okay.
It could be zero.
Adam.
No, there's not going to be zero because
okay,
we're talking about like 14.
Dude. Hit the longest home run you can.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I mean, okay. Ricky Chubbs on Slack. He wants rapid fire answers. I mean, we're going to say the same shit, I think. But you ready to go rapid fire? Three things. Four things.
Sure.
4.0 goalkeeper.
Button.
Easy. 4.0 defender.
Lundfuck.
Easy. 4.0 mid.
Oh, that was a good one.
What?
There's no fucking 4.0
mids. Sorry, 4.5 mid. That actually wasn't a joke. I just read it wrong.
Dindonks. Yeah, we know. And then Wickham.
It's obviously,
but maybe Gibson.
I'm just going to throw another 4.5 mid out there because he's sexual and I like him. Guendouzi, baby.
Fuck out of here.
I will not start with him. Don't worry. I'm not insane. Gnar on Slack, with seemingly no viable 4-5 forwards, no decent 4-0 defenders, and limited 4-5 mids, should we be spending a bit more on our bench than the bare minimum?
Probably not.
Probably not to start this season.
Maybe we should all have John. I mean, that's what my takeaways are. Tinker and John Joe, play with cheap defenders, and have some fun.
That's like
Jack in.
Every pod, we like give ourselves homework, I feel like. And that's like kind of the homework. It's like, maybe I can make this work.
Dude, imagine a Jack Jonjo team. That would be so good.
The passing would just be out of control. The problem is you need N'Golo Kanté behind them, or it's a nightmare. Just a couple other questions and then we can wrap up. These aren't even really related, but L. Ron Cupboard, feelings on Laporte and the City defense in general?
Oh, God.
It's so sketchy to start with Laporte. Like, I don't think I have the balls to do it.
I think it's sketchy to start with anyone not named Ederson at this point, to be honest.
I mean, even Kyle Walker, they're getting Cancelo.
It's just none of it feels good.
Which is so bad because you want coverage on City defense.
Yeah, you do. It's
maybe
just,
I'll
mean,
go back
Stones,
to Ederson. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Stones is just risky, and I don't know. It's one of those where it's like the wild. I mean, the early wild card is always something that you can do. Like, there's always like, you know, you're going to want to backdoor into some Chelsea players and like figure out what's going on in the world of life and getting those City team sheets early. Because listen, there's going to be value. I mean, Cancelo could come in at 6'6'5 or whatever, but there's going to be some value in the City defense because they're pretty cheap, right? They're like all these 5'5 guys. So we just need to know which one's which. And I mean, Mendy at 6 is ridiculous value if he comes back. I mean,
if he was returning at a 7.5 defender rate, if not more, I don't know what it would be. I mean, he had 900 minutes. He had fucking 6 assists. And they're all in open play. They're not like bullshit Dean assists off some like corner.
Right.
So, I mean, there's going to be value there. We just don't know who or what it is.
Yeah, it's just bad for like game week one.
Yeah. I mean, again, like Zinchenko feels like reasonably safe, but it's just like Mendy's back in training. I just don't know how for how long. And we're talking about, you know, punting on like, you know, you start with King. King blanks both 2 game weeks and you're going to the City week and you're like, this is a fucking dead piece of shit on my team. And then you also have like Zinchenko with like Mendy coming back. Like these are the kind of things that like compound into like you having a wild card, which if you're fine with that, then that's fine. Like these are reasons like to wild card. But just know setting your team up ahead of time. Like if you're like, oh, I want to try and hold my wild card, then like don't start with these players who could be like mandatory transfers within the last like first like 2 or 3 game weeks, you know?
Right. Yeah. You have to be kind of open to the wild card if you're starting with all these risks. And the next question is Troy UK. And it's like he said, say you're setting up for wild card in game week 3, what would be your punty team for the first 2 game weeks? Which we talked about a lot like 2 pods ago. I feel like we haven't mentioned it since, but I honestly still think it's a very reasonable strategy. And a big part of it is City defense. A big part of it is like Chelsea guys who start a good fixture run in game week 3. Big part of it is Arsenal have a good first 2 fixtures and then bad fixtures. Like I think there's a lot of reasons that it's good, and really the only reason that it's risky and bad is because you won't have a wild card for the next million weeks of the season.
Yeah, but then it comes back to like, what would the team look like? How different is that team from just like your normal team?
Well, I think one thing that you and I talked about when I was more into it than I have been lately is like you wouldn't go like 5 at the back. Like you wouldn't go like really heavy defense, expensive defenders and stuff like that, especially with like Liverpool defense looking slightly shaky against like Norwich, promoted side, weird shit. You would kind of just go more heavy attackers, like more of an old school 3-4-3 or something like that. And
3-5-2.
Yeah, 3-5-2. And like Obbs, I feel like would be like nailed in your team. I don't know how different, but I think it would be different. I haven't like played with it in a while, so it's kind of hard to just make one up on the spot, you know?
Yeah. I'm having such a difficult time with Obbs because like, I like really want him, but I can't seem to justify it.
Right. I mean, why not? Like they're not even close to as good an attacking team as like even Liverpool, but not even close to City, but like he is. You know, like his numbers are.
Yeah.
So, how much does that matter?
But then it's like going without one of Raz or Mo. And if, you know, if you're trying to fit him in with them, then you're going into like a more than a comfortable number of cheap punt territory.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't want to expose yourself too much for sure.
That's a bit of the issue. And then it's also, you know, I still think for game week 2, like he's the best captaincy option.
Who, Obbs?
Yeah, I would cap him over Mo. Game week 2, no question. I mean, Southampton, obviously not a good defense, but they usually at home are, you know, it's not going to be a walk. They're not going to just roll over.
They still like press and have good players. Yeah. Arsenal home, Burnley, that's pretty damn good.
So, but then it comes back to like Raz, like, you know, he scored some scuff piece of bullshit yesterday. And I mean, Son, I don't think he's as good of an option when he's playing centrally versus when he's on the wing and someone who's actually good like Kun is playing centrally. But then, you know, Sané got out, so then maybe he's going to go back to the wing like Kun. I don't know. He didn't come off the bench yesterday, so he's probably not going to play. Probably it'll probably be Jesus in game week 1, honestly, I would expect, if Sané can't go, which it looks likely. So it's just like is going without Raz, who's not going to be capped the first 3 game weeks by anyone really, more or less, like, okay, and then you can keep the rest of the team okay, and then maybe, like, think about doing a swap from that game week 3 or something. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I actually think that is okay. I mean, I think if you're not captaining Raz, you're not getting value from Raz, or, like, really any of the double digits. The difference with Salah is you will be captaining him. But I think also something that we haven't really talked about, and we're running super long, so cut me off whenever, but I do like the flexibility of having like a premium forward, because there's a chance that like after a couple of weeks we're all jumping on Kuhn, we're all jumping on Obbs, we're all jumping on Kane, like, whatever it is. And if everyone is like Mo and Raz and like whatever forwards, then like we're talking about a double move and we're talking about probably taking a hit. And it's just like, you know, it's Aguero's the same price as Raz, and he's Aguero, and he's like better. And the only reason he scored less points is because he has less minutes. And Kane is good with good fixtures, and Obbs is ridiculously good first two fixtures and looks like he's in good form. Like, I think the forwards are getting a little bit overlooked. But
I agree. It's just the thing with Raz is then it's like you're looking at City. This is clearly the best team in the league. And do you have like none of their players? do you have only Kevin, who is far from explosive? You know, he'll certainly tick and finish with a fair points total, but you know, he's really reliant on assists. Like, he never really tops 10 goals. I mean, he's, you know, then it gets into that kind of awkward territory.
Yeah, it gets sketchy.
What am I up to over here? But I do take your point between Kuhn, Kane, and Obbs. I mean, they will. At least two of them will finish 1-2 in the forward point total this season. And yeah, I mean, they're really not. I mean, Kane's in more teams probably. I don't know why, maybe because of the Villa fixture or whatever, but Kane's in more teams than Aubameyang. But yeah, they're not really being picked a lot. So I don't know.
Yeah, Obbs is 22-7 last season. Like, absurd.
Yeah. And his stats are always great. So
yeah.
Obbs, yeah, I didn't own Obbs last year also, and I'm not like feels bad man with Obbs, like a lot of people who got fucking fucked
by
him last season.
I got fucked by him, and I still want him for whatever that means. I guess I'm just a cuck. Yeah. I just want to watch Obbs fuck my wife.
You're just a sadistic cuck.
Yeah, that's me. Oh. Oh boy.
I mean, how locked in is Mo and Raz? Like, there's something that keeps nagging at me of like, ugh, like, am I just gonna do this? Like, this is, you know, and we put the captain poll up, and I think it's like fucking 40 votes for Mo and like one vote for Kane. Like, that's it. I'm like, am I gonna not have Mo? Like,
yeah,
that
I think
seems
Mo
like
for me, if there's any other takeaways that I got from Community Shield, it's just like, oh yeah, Mo is just gonna obviously be the highest point scorer in FPL and obviously win the Golden Boot. That's like what it seemed like to me. It's like he just has license to like take on as many people as he wants at any time and shoot as much as he wants at any time. Then it's just like, yeah, that's why he's a good captain. He's gonna shoot fucking 9 times against Norwich, and it's gonna be someone even worse than Zinchenko trying to defend him. You know, it's like, God.
Yeah, I mean, Mo, the captain called Mo 57, Kane 2.
Oh my God, that's never happened ever.
Kane is in second place with 2 votes in our fucking Slack shit, 57.
That's crazy. Yeah, not starting with Mo is probably irresponsible, just for like those kinds of numbers. But, all right, should we just get out of here, anus slap? We're going to pot again in 2 days, so like, a lot of tinkering and things to talk about then.
I'm really nervous.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just nervous. Right, so, I feel like I'm going to fucking have a bad start like I always do. God damn it.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to have a bad season after last season, so I'm very nervous as well.
I need Derek's team so badly.
I know.
He's just like holding out on
the
us.
The funny
it's
thing
like,
is we went to the bar yesterday to watch Community Shield, and Jason, me, and Nate were like, Derek, like, we haven't posted your team. Like, we need your fucking team. And he's like, it's nothing special. It's just kind of template. And we were like, that's why we need your team. You fucking asshole. Like, I don't need a team full of punts. That's what I do all day in my head, you know? I need template, most simple, basic, obvious team ever from Derek, because it's going to finish top 2K. God damn it.
Fucking Derek.
All right, we got a bunch of new signups in the run-up to game week 1. People are getting fucking hyped and back into it. We got Dean Lucas, Puffa Smith, Paul Nye, the science guy. We got D. Beck, Tom Danger, Cock O'Malley, Michael Martinez, Dylan Lee, John Silva, Renegade Master, James Pierce, Flemington Race Course. Definitely a real name there. We got George Evans, Viral Shaw, Blake, and Michael Workman. Bunch of new guys. Oh, and Scott Schneider finally figured out how to use the internet. Good job by him. thanks for joining. If I could slap that ass, new signups. Good job.
So we'll be back on Wednesday with just a frenzied, frantic pod of tinkering and stream of consciousness.
Yeah, and Wednesday is definitely the type of pod where you should send in as many questions as possible. That's definitely like a good questions pod. So look, I'll do a Slack thing at everyone, but feel free to send in on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
Yeah.
Great. Any last words?
No, let's get out of here.
Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review, too.